Glad you guys are here with us tonight. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Juan Guevara. I am a pastor of Calvary Chapel Lake Buena Vista, also known as Calvary Disney, a few miles down the road. I'm actually married to my wife, Brooke, 17 years this month, right? Yeah, give it a hand, man. Give it a hand. Good stuff. I have four awesome kids. My oldest is about to be 15. I have an 11-year-old princess. I have a 9-year-old little monkey daughter. And then my 4-year-old little lion boy, Leo. So listen, I know everything about everything because they remind me that I don't. But so that's me. A little bit about me. I like to game, right? I don't know if anybody's still into Fortnite. I know it's not like a thing. A couple, okay, all three of you. Great, right? You, all three of you. You can friend me. It's B-U-G-H-A. I'm Booga. Yeah, that's my... What, y'all expecting somebody younger? No, that's me. Listen, if you're on YouTube, you can follow me. You can subscribe to me. I'm also go by the name of Mr. Beast. I like to go away with my money. Any Mr. Beast fans here? Nobody? Yeah. A couple of Mr. Beast fans. Well, I don't look filthy rich. Is that because that ain't Mr. Beast? Listen, actually, for real, though, I'm from Argentina. I love soccer, right? Any soccer fans out there? No, yeah, two. Thanks. Woo! All right, we're Argentina. Listen, by the time we're done tonight, I'm going to make you guys all Argentina fans. Lionel Messi, any Messi fans out there? Yeah, all right, here we go. Now we're talking, right? And then again, I do love Disney, Universal, and all those things down south of here. But I'm excited to be here with you guys tonight as we are here to study God's Word. We are here for a conference on true salvation. But listen, before we begin, if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. If you don't own one, you can borrow one around here. We believe every heart should have one. But we're going to be in Zechariah chapter 3 and in Romans chapter 3 tonight as the conference is true salvation. Tonight, my topic, it's justification. And if these are all words you're not familiar with, that's okay. That's why we're here tonight. But listen, if you have your Bibles, go to Zechariah 3. I'll give you guys a minute to turn there. Zechariah chapter 3, it's in the Old Testament. It's after Genesis, before Malachi. Good luck. But it's towards the end. You can try to find it there. Flip. If you have your phone, you can use that as well. Zechariah chapter 3. All right, something I have the church do back at home. I have you stand as you read God's word. So if you would with me, just make me feel comfortable. Go ahead and stand up as we read God's word, because this is what I want you to remember and I want you to hold dear to your heart. That what you're holding in your hand, this isn't a textbook for you to study from. This isn't a life coach to put you on a path of positive thinking. And this isn't just some good advice to make your life problem free. No, these are the literal words of God from him to us that we may know him more and glorify him. And so I have you stand up to be reminded of that truth, that this is more than just a book. And so as we read, I will read the first few verses and then we'll study the whole passage together. But listen, it's Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. A vision for Zechariah. He says this, I read, he wrote, and then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, God. I pray, Lord, this can speak to our hearts. I pray that we can open our hearts to receive it, our eyes to see it, and our ears to hear it. God, tonight we are yours. Have your way with us as children of yours, men and women, and as a church under your banner. Lord, we ask now in your precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Listen, tonight I titled it, Easy Does It. Easy Does It. Yeah, easy does it. I don't know about you. I like being a Christian. Well, it's pretty easy, right? I mean, it's pretty easy being a Christian. Doesn't the Bible says, whom God sets free is free indeed, right? And I am a free man. And therefore, I find my Christian walk very easy. Or do some of you find it hard? Is your Christian walk easy Or is your Christian walk hard? Think about that. Well, and I guess it really depends on what kind of Christian you are, right? It depends on how much you understand about your own faith. You see, because this conference for the next 2 days, it's discussions and workshops. Listen, I looked at the flyer, right? And I looked at the flyer. I remember Justin saying, hey, Pastor Juan, listen, I'd love for you to come and share at the conference. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, man, what is this thing? Look, these guys are like the mentors. Like the title is True Salvation. Like that's not going to make me invite my friends, right? I mean, I didn't look at this and say, wow, come to this, right? It looks creepy, right? I was like, what are we doing here? I said, why not, man? I really wanted to reach the youth. Why not call it How to Be a Better Influencer? Come to my church, all right? What Jesus can teach you about your TikTok. How do I share my faith through social media, right? Or even, listen, how do I get a job? How do I stay in a relationship? How do I not feel, and fill in the blank, anxious, anxiety, rejected, right? I mean, those are more catchy things that I believe would help us, well, maybe make it easier. Or would they? Yeah, listen, here's the thing. This true salvation, it's soteriology, right? It's the study of salvation, the study of it. It's all about how we feel while we struggle with our Christianity, right? I mean, the doctrine is about going from feeling guilty. When you understand salvation, you go from feeling guilty to feeling favored. You go from feeling depressed to finding purpose. You go from feeling lonely to feeling like you're part of family. Yeah, it's a rescue from the destruction and a restoration to health. This is true salvation, right? And it isn't the salvation that you think it is. No, true salvation should take you from here to here. And in the scriptures, you see it played out in three parts. It's a three-part process, right? Past, present, and future. I was saved, I am getting saved, and one day I will be saved, right? And I'm not an English major, but I'm like, what? Bro, Jesus, like, he's got this. Like, how can you do all three at once? Well, this is what you're going to learn this weekend, right? The first one tonight is justification. I am saved, past tense. Eric is going to be teaching tomorrow sanctification. I am being saved. I am working out my salvation. And then Jeremy's going to come along and teach us about glorification and that one day I will be saved, right? I am saved from the penalty of my sins. I am being saved from the power over sin in my life. And then one day I will be free from the presence of sin, right? And that's what this whole weekend is about. Again, how to be whole again. How to be whole again. Because no matter what your aim is, no matter what your goal is, no, you want to be an influencer? That's cool. You want to have a lot of subscribers? That's fine, right? I want you to be the best at who you want as who God made you to be, but I want you to be the best as a whole child of God wherever you're at. And hopefully when you walk out of here tomorrow, you're going to say, I am fully loved and I am fully known. Not that, oh, I'm fully loved because they don't know the real me. No, God knows the true you. God knows all your ugliness. And yet he still loves you. And that is true salvation. Because let's be real. Sometimes our Christian walk, it doesn't feel like a walk. It feels like a mud run, right? It doesn't feel like a jog. No, our devotional life diminishes, right? And then we get caught up in all these external activities, right? We're like, well, in order to be a good Christian, in order to show that I'm saved, well, I got to serve more. I got to study more. I got to read more. I got to go attend youth conferences, right? I mean, some of us are here kind of like, well, I don't really want to be here, but yeah, okay, I guess this is what the good kids do, right? If I'm really a good Christian, I go to the youth conference. And listen, our Christianity turns into a religious ritual and not a personal love. And then our Christian walk gets hard. And that's what I see, right? So if you're here tonight and you're like, yeah, Juan, Christianity's hard. Listen, I hope to show you that my yoke is light and my burden is easy, right? Because God didn't come to make your walk hard. No, you've gone from this personal love of the Lord who loves you just the way you are to this religious ritual, to having to do things, and that's what makes it hard for you. Listen, it's like the difference between a chain restaurant and like a mom and pop store. Any of you guys foodies out there? Anybody had none of y'all are foodies? Oh, what do you got? Chicken tender people? Right? Chicken tenders and fries? Come on, man. Right? Woo-hoo! Give me chicken guy. Listen, so it's funny. I actually have a tent job, right? And I work in sales, and I work for a food company. We import food from all over the world, right? Guess what we import? Cheese. All over, yeah, baby. Listen, we do all kinds of cheese. We are spoiled cheese people, right? Some of you out there going, oh, I like a hamburger with like that yellow cheese and you unwrap it. No, we don't do that. We got a 72-pound wheel and we're slicing Gruyere. We're slicing Gouda, right? We are foodies, right? But listen, I love food. I love the hospitality industry. I love the restaurants. That's what I grew up in. That's why when I came to plant the church, I planted over by the Disney area because I love serving people. I love showing people that love because that's what God does for us. Right? You don't go to a restaurant and they're like, all right, Billy, how nice are you? No, they just serve you and they love you no matter what. Right? They love that. So listen, that's why we have the church over there. But who has a favorite restaurant? What's a favorite restaurant you guys have? Anybody? Yep. Chick-fil-A. Oh, what a Christian answer, right? Oh, come on. We all love the Lord's chicken. You can't mess with that. Right? What's another good restaurant? Olive Garden, Chili's. Okay, so sounds like a bunch of chain restaurants. Listen. Yeah, no, these are all, no. Listen. Those are all cool, right? Yeah, those are all good. I'm not going to dish it. But again, I'm a food guy, right? This is what I do for a living. I sell good food, right, to good people, right? So listen, one of my favorite places here in Orlando is called the Hubbard Dining Room. You guys ever been to the Hubbard Dining Room? Now, Dad, right, you can't afford it. Neither can I. But my friend works there. and he got me in. He got me and my wife in. Listen, this place is so rich. It's for the filthy rich that that's not me, but I'm there at the very end of our meal. I was like, oh, how do I tip? And he goes, oh, Juan, we take care of our people. We don't need your money. Whoa, no way. I said, I got to go to a place where I got a tip? This is great. I'm going to come back, right? But he hooked me up. It was a special night, right? I went with my wife. There was a guy playing the harp live. When was the last time y'all seen somebody play a harp, right? So we had a restaurant. This guy's playing the harp live. The food was phenomenal. You know, steak, Wagyu A5, right? That's top of the line. I'm talking about that cow gets massaged before it goes to the slaughterhouse. Yeah. The conversation was glorious. Oh, that's my girlfriend, my wife. That's my girl, right? And so this was the Hubbard Steakhouse. Another good place. Oh, and so people were like, they were serving me. You know, there was a guy for water. We got to the table and this guy brings out a flower. He goes, hey, I brought a flower just for you, Mrs. Guevara. And I was like, ooh, I don't get my wife flowers. Like, ooh, what you got for me? You know, come on, Chili's don't do that. Olive Garden don't do that, right? Here's another one for you. Have you ever in Chicago? Anybody ever been to Chicago? Okay, Chicago lovers, listen, there's a place called, yeah, don't go there, man. You're going to get robbed. But listen, but if you do go there, there's this one place called Bucolo Buco, right? It's funny. You walk in and this girl says, hey, how are you guys doing? Have you guys heard about this place? I was like, no, not really. I'm just here to eat. And they're like, well, listen, this started back in Italy. The owner of this restaurant met the other restaurant. And she's telling this story, right? And I'm really not the guy to talk to people, right? My wife is a social butterfly, not me. And I'm like, okay, this is great. I said, just two. I'm like, there's three of us. I went for work. There's four of us. And she goes, oh, no, I'm not the hostess. The hostess is over there. I'm just going to tell you about the restaurant. I was like, what? And I go to the hostess and they're like, oh, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. You finally get to the table. Oh, have you heard about our pizza? Listen, there were so many people serving us. I don't know who our waiter was, right? But they brought out this pizza in a pan with shears. They're like, do you want to cut your own or should I cut it for you? I was like, what? Right, this, that. And listen, it was phenomenal. Just great service, great food, great conversation, right? And I talk about it all the time. That was my first love with Jesus. But then restaurants became like chains. And it just became, oh yeah, I just go here. I get salad. This is what I do, right? But that was the difference between religious routine, when we don't really talk about it, to the first time where it's like, yo, I want to go to the Hubbard Dining Room. I want to go to Piccolo Buco in Chicago, right? Because it impressed me. It touched me. It said something to me about, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. So listen, this is what our faith should feel like. Easy does it. Easy does it. Yeah, this is what God intended. Listen, Galatians 3:24, you can pay attention to the screen up there. It says, the law was a tutor unto Christ so that we could be justified by faith. The law was a tutor unto Christ, justified by faith. Yeah, if the focus is on the law and you having to do things, it's hard. It's a mud run. And this walk of yours, you're going to get tired. You're going to give up. But if your focus is on Christ, easy does it. Yeah, and this is the act of faith. This is the truth that is workable in the ordinary universe that you live in. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you're working. I don't care who your parents are. You can live out this truth of having a good Christian life, no matter where or what your personality is like. Introverted, extroverted, lots of friends, no friends, gamer, no gamer, sports, no sports. It doesn't matter, right? This is the truth. If you focus on the Christ part, easy does it. Easy does it. Yeah. And so this conference will hopefully allow us to truly believe and walk away with what Jesus said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? And why do we get so tired? Why do we get so tired? Well, that's what I hope to help you guys out today and show you what it says in God's word. Because it'll help us overcome these thoughts, a feeling of unworthy, right? And it's coupled with guilt that we should be doing more. And so I know for me that I can get that way when my faith is hard, right? Even as a pastor, right? And I hear Satan constantly telling me, you're not a good Christian, Juan. You skipped a devotional yesterday. You're not a good Christian, Juan, right? You're not even a good dad. You yelled at your kids the other day, right? And Satan's in my mind. You're not even a good pastor. Just constantly barraging me, right? And then he starts accusing me of things. You saw what you did the other day? You saw how you treated? You just ignored that man. And he starts accusing me of these things. And I want to defend myself. But you know what? A lot of times it's true. I'm not good. I'm not that great of a dad. I'm not that great of a pastor. I'm not that great of a Christian, right? I remember one time I got fired from a job once, right? Me, a Christian. Imagine being a Christian and getting fired, right? Have you ever been a Christian and got fired? It hurts, right? Because you're supposed to be cream of the crop. You're the light of the world. You ain't light. You're like salt, like the salty, the bitterness salt, right? I worked for an orange juice company and I got canned. Yeah, they said I couldn't concentrate on my job. Yeah, they put the squeeze on me too, real tight. Yeah, man, I feel like I was beaten to a pulp back then. Oh yeah, dad jokes. Listen, but joking aside, when people accuse you, right? Man, isn't that the perfect weapon to disarm you and discourage you when you're being accused of something? Right? And it's really powerful, isn't it? More powerful than we realize. Hey, you're such a liar. Wait. And it disarms you. Listen, this is where we're at with our story tonight with Joshua, right? So this is Joshua, who was one of the leaders of Israel at the time. This isn't Joshua, the son of Nun. This isn't Joshua who walked around Jericho. This isn't Joshua, the great leader, right? That's not him. This is Joshua, the high priest, right? This is 500 years later, actually more than that, several hundred years later. This is Joshua who returned with Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem wasn't existing anymore. It was gone. It was done. These guys were in Babylon. And then finally, they say, hey, can we go back and rebuild Jeruselem? And so the king lets him go back. Joshua, the high priest, Zerubbabel, the governor, they come back, right? And right now in the story, we find him being accused, right? He's being accused. He's on the stand and he's feeling the same way we feel, right? Probably telling himself, this is just too hard, man. Satan is on there accusing him. And he's there going, again, focusing on the law and what he needed to get done. He's standing there going, and this is where we start with the story. Go back with me. It's Zechariah chapter 3, as is the style, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Look what he says. Then Zechariah is having the vision. Then God showed me, Zechariah, he showed me this, that Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan at his right side to accuse him. So stop right there. right? Again, so the setting is a courtroom scene. This is a vision that Zechariah was having, the prophet. And he saw this vision of Joshua the high priest. The prosecutor was Satan, and on trial was Joshua, right? And here the vision was, he was standing before an angel of the Lord. If you're a Bible student, who is this angel of the Lord? Starts with J, ends with Jesus. Who is it? Jesus, right? Make it easy for you guys. So we know it's God, we know it's Jesus. And so it's interesting because Joshua would probably be in the middle of doing one of his regular priestly duties, right? Standing before the Lord. And so just as he's doing one of his regular duties, all of a sudden this vision is caught up. And there he is being accused by Satan. And this ministry moment becomes a trial, right? Doesn't it feel that way sometimes? That when you're in the middle of just serving God, all of a sudden Satan says, hey, I know what you did last night. Hey, I know what you were thinking about. Hey, I know you're like in the middle of doing something good. You're in the middle of ministry. You're in the middle of actually doing something that you chose that's not selfish. Satan seeks to resist whatever work you may desire to do for God. And it's right there that he attacks you. I mean, Satan means to oppose you, to discredit you, right? It's an adversary. It's a slanderer. And it's interesting because at this point in Hebrew theology, it was really more of a role than it was an actual person, right? A defined serpent or devil, right? That comes along more in the New Testament where he's against God and everything good. So right now there's this thing that is attacking Joshua the high priest, accusing him, right? The charge, courtroom, prosecutor Satan, defendant Joshua, God is the judge. The charge, he's unclean. Satan's like, this man is unclean. He's not fit to do his duty. Yeah, he's unfit to represent the nation as a high priest. Remember, he's the one that's supposed to enter the Holy of Holies so the nation can be accepted, right? And Satan's like, hey, God, look at this guy. He's not clean, man. He curses all the time. You checked out his phone recently? It's nuts, right? You can't. You aren't good at being a Christian. Satan's like, this guy is no high priest. And he's accusing you. And he's saying, you aren't good at this. And it's crazy because the beginning of Zechariah was all these hopeful and encouraging messages. Like, yeah, all right. We all love those good feel messages, right? And it's like, this is great. But now we reach this impasse, we call it, right? Where he's being accused. Listen to this, guys. Let's be real. When Satan talks to you about God, he's lying. God don't love you. God don't need you. God really doesn't approve of you. But when Satan talks to God about you, he's probably telling the truth. Yeah, when he talks to you about God, he's lying to you. But when he talks to God about you, he's probably telling the truth. Yeah, look at verse 2, Zechariah chapter 3. He says this, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand that was plucked from the fire? Oh, pause right there. Accusation happening in court. Lord speaks up first and he says, the Lord rebuke you. Right? He stands right in front of Joshua. He's like, the Lord rebuke you. Right? This is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's battle. The Lord rebuke you. Now, like it later on in the Bible, even in the book of Jude, when the archangel Michael shows up, he doesn't say, I rebuke you. No, he's like, the Lord rebuke you. Right? I love that we're singing that earlier. Right? I'm back there crying like a little baby. It's like, yeah, this is the Lord's battle. This isn't me. I got nothing to do with this. Right? This is the Lord's battle. Guys, justification is the Lord's battle. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5 reminds us. It's not about what you do, but it's about where you are. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God where? In him. Where? In him. Right? Not that we become the righteousness of God by doing this or by serving more or by studying more. No. That we might become the righteousness of God, the justification, by being in him. He's like, hey, isn't this a man that I snatched from the fire? Yeah, he snatched him from the fire of burning hell. In other words, Joshua was a saved man. Israel was a chosen nation. Right? They weren't maybe acting the way they should have, but this is the doctrine of justification. The doctrine of justification says, I snatched them from the burning fire. Joshua may be unclean right now, but he's mine. The nation of Israel, they may not be perfect, but I've chosen them. Right? Look at what Romans 11:1 says. I asked then, has God rejected his people, Israel? Absolutely not. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. In the same way, then there's also this present time, a remnant chosen by grace. Now, if by grace, then it is not by works. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace. When you start messing around with justification and thinking it has something to do with what you do, you're messing this all up and it's no longer grace. And that's no longer Christianity. And your Christian walk really isn't a Christian walk because it's too hard. There is a remnant that exists. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace. Yeah, listen, they may not find themselves in the fire, or they may find themselves in the fire constantly. You may find yourselves in the fire, but you're not consumed. Yeah, it could have been much worse. But Paul says in the Corinthian church, he says, he himself will be saved, but only as if through the flames. In other words, hey, some of you may have been justified by faith, may have been saved, but you smell like burnt toast, right? You know you got those friends. It isn't you, but it's your friend. You're like, oh, you're saved? Man, you smell like a cigarette, man. You smell like you're in the fire. You might have been snatched, but you smell like you're in the fire. And this usually happens, guys, when our faith is too tough and we give up on this personal love and this intimacy we once had, right? Think about the omniscience of God. And that means that he's everywhere. He knows everything. Listen, the omniscience of God, that God is everywhere, it should make you uneasy. It should make you go, oh man, I don't know. Don't believe me? Let me see your phones. I want you to unlock and give me your phone. I'm going to scroll right through it. I'm going to put the text messages up here. Oh, no, no. See, pastor, see, it was just once. Yeah, some of you are like, here, I'll take my phone. Okay, let me get it. I have an app that I can look through all your incognito pages and all your private websites. Oh, see, I might have stumbled, right? Oh, your history on the website? I can unlock that. Here, give me your phone. A little uneasy. And I'm not even God, right? You see, guys, all these things make us unclean. It makes us sinful, and we need to be justified. The first process of justification is saying, I am a sinner, and I am screwed up, man. Justification means to be declared righteous, right? But how could we if we're dirty with sin? I mean, even right now, half of us sinned this morning, half of us sinned this afternoon. Half of us are probably sinning right now and calling me names. That guy's an idiot. That's fine, right? His orange joke was stupid. I thought it was funny. But how could we be declared righteous when we're dirty with sin? To paint a picture, the Bible says it's like you're wearing filthy clothes. And that's what we see next in this rebuke from Satan, the path to God, and then the justification. Go back with me, Zechariah chapter 3. Now look at verse 3 to 5. Zechariah chapter 3, look with me, verses 3 through 5. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. He had all these crazy stuff on his phones and his websites and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Pause right there, eyes up here. So he's dressed in these filthy garments. Right? Filthy garments in the Bible is symbolic of your self-righteous works, right? It's trying to do things on your own, trying to act like a Christian, trying to do Christian things. And we've got it backwards, guys. We've got it reversed. Isaiah 64:6 says this about every good works that you do. All of us become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts, all the good things you guys are trying, even showing up here tonight, it's like a polluted garment. You know what that word polluted garment means? It means excrement. Look it up. That's poo-poo, right? It's like vomit. All of us wither like a leaf, and all our iniquities carry us like the wind. Listen, this isn't like a little bit of dirt. No, this is stench. This is vomit. All your good deeds. You come here tonight, and you're like, hey, God, look at me. That alone makes me think Christianity is too hard. Because even everything that I'm doing, it's not? Yeah. Listen, so he's in this courtroom And Jesus has three options. The judge has three options. Number one, he can condemn the sinner. Go to hell. You're dirty, Joshua. Get out of here. Number two, he can let him go free. But if he lets him go free innocent while he's still guilty, that would compromise God's own righteousness. Or number three, he can change him and make them right. And that's what's called justification. But listen, it had to be real. He can't just wave a wand and say, all right, now you're good. No, it can't be fictitious. It can't be imagined. It had to be real. There had to be a just right. Listen, it isn't just because I wear the Argentina jersey. Am I now on the team? No, I got to show some skill. Like, it's got to be real, right? Just because I play a few games of Fortnite, does that make me a sweat or a gamer? No, it doesn't. I sweat while I play Fortnite. Yeah, I sweat when I play Minecraft. I'm so horrible, right? All those building blocks. These guys are like building 15. I'm still on number one, right? And they introduce Roblox to me. And I'm like, oh, this is too much. I can't do this. Let's go back to Mario. I love when that new NES, the classic NES came out. Ooh, man, game right there. Tetris, I'll take all of you on. Give me that Tetris. But just because I wear the jersey doesn't mean I'm on the team. Just because I go to church don't mean I'm a Christian. Just because I serve doesn't mean I'm a Christian. Just because I'm here tonight doesn't mean I'm a Christian. Listen, Job wrestled with this thought too. And Job says, how can a man be right before God? How can you do that? I am filthy. I have these garments. God can't just lie, because it has to be real, not just, oh, you are because I say you are, right? That can't happen. So what does God say in Zechariah 3? He says this, he goes, take away those filthy garments from him. I will remove them and I will clothe you. Who's the emphasis on? Who's the emphasis on? God. Let's try this again. Who's the emphasis on? God. Yeah, God didn't say, all right, now you got to go up to your room and get cleaned. There's some new clothes for you there. No, God says, come here, Joshua. He takes off the filthy. He puts on the new garments. And then he puts this turban on him, right? God is the doing. Joshua is just standing and allowing God to do the work in him. I love it because one of the commentators, Barone, one of my favorite guys, he said this about Israel. He goes, if Israel's position as the Lord's peculiar people depended on their own faithfulness, then there would have been an end of them long ago. But Israel's hope and safety rest on the immutable character and faithfulness of the everlasting, unchangeable God, and that makes all the difference. It has nothing to do with what Israel did. It has everything to do with who God was. And that is the point of the first part of this message, that he says, I have taken away your sin, right? Do you notice God just doesn't, God doesn't cover it up. He doesn't have your dirtiness and he puts a new shirt on top of you. No, he takes it away from you, right? And this is where it's applied to us. Go to Romans chapter 3. I asked you to turn there earlier. Go to Romans chapter 3. It's the only place we're turning. So go ahead and take your time. Get over to Romans. You need to underline this. You need to highlight it. You need to circle this. And if it hasn't been already, this is a good time to be here tonight. Because this is where we see the story of Zechariah 3 applied to us now. What we saw in Egypt is what we're going to see happen in Easter. This salvation, this justification. Romans chapter 3, it's verse 21. I'm going to turn there myself, actually. Here we go. But now apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed and attested by the law and the prophets. That is God's righteousness, justification, through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented him, Jesus, as a propitiation through the faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Pause right there, that last line. So that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Listen, next to your Bibles, write these three words. God did it. God did it. God did it. Yeah, your justification is based on what God did. And we must only believe in faith that what he did holds true. Yeah, it's so easy. Listen, Ephesians 1:4 says this, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself." What is that saying? He says, hey, listen, he chose you before you even did anything. Yeah, before you went to church, he loved you and he chose you. Before you served, he loved you and he chose you. Before you thought you were nice, he loved you and he chose you. Remember we learned earlier that every good thing that you do means absolutely nothing? Because it's not about what you do, but it's about what God did. And if you keep thinking about it's about what you do, listen, your Christian walk is hard. In love, he chose us. So what do I do with this? How do I apply this to this feeling that I don't fit in? That my Christian walk is too hard? Being accused about all my problems and struggles with sin. Juan, what do I do about this? If this is really true, listen, there's one takeaway. I want you to take this home with you. You need to focus on the pursuit of God and not your problems of the past. Focus on the pursuit of God and not your problems of the past. Satan says, Jamie, you're unclean. I know what you did with your boyfriend. Jamie says, guilty. But you know what? I'm going to step down my new clothes and I'm going to keep pursuing God. I'm going to keep pursuing God. Satan wants you to stick to these problems of the past. And God says, I've made you clean. I made you clean, right? Focus on the pursuit of God, not the problem of the past. Yeah, your life is tailored. He's measured it for you perfectly to fit for every occasion. You fit in whether you believe it or not because God did it. And understanding this doctrine of justification helps you push forward because the past has been taken care of. Right? This is the act of grace. Stop focusing on this. Justification says this is done. Right? Listen, justification, it's about convicting you, calling you, conversion you, and then this commitment to faith. Yeah, convicting you, well, you have to get to a point you say, I was wrong. I am clearly wrong. It's clearly laid out that I was wrong. There's no and, if, ors, or buts. I was wrong. Right? And then he calls you. He says, come to me. Come to me. You know you're wrong. I can put your new garment on. I can take away that old and I can put the new one on you. And then he changes you and he makes you right. And that's what we learn in the Christian, the phrase born again. It's that third process of justification. This is where you're born again. And then finally, he gives you faith to act this out. Because faith is to have this confidence and trust to hold something as true. And so if we are really justified and we're here in the process, and we're going to hold on to that is true, that God really took out my dirty garments and he put on some new ones, then I'm going to walk this way. You know what drags us down is when we forget that and Satan holds us back here, right? To have faith in Christ unto salvation means to have the confidence. Oh, next slide. To have faith in Christ unto salvation is to have the confidence that he can remove the guilt of your sin and grant you eternal life. That's confidence. Easy does it. Now go and pursue God. Yeah, the problems of the past are the problems of the past. Satan wishes to paralyze you with the past and overwhelm you with the future. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And today he calls you freely forgiven and justified. And justified. So now what do we do? Zechariah chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Let's touch on this. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, circle this, if you will walk in my ways and if you'll keep my command, then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge over my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. And behold, I will engrave its inscription. So the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Right? So pause right here. He says, if you, this is funny because I love justification. Justification, the whole hour now, I was like, woof, this is great, man. God's forgiven the problem of the past. I just got to pursue God. And then he slaps me in verse 7. He says, if you, well, you see, this whole part is sanctification. Yeah, because now that we believe this and we're going to pursue God, well, there's this next section called sanctification that God is now going to help you pursue him, right? Justification is the act of grace. Sanctification, which Eric is going to teach on, is the work of God's grace, right? But if this case gets dismissed and he goes free, I don't know if that sits right with me, right? I mean, what about due process? Well, listen, this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. He says, one day there'll be this branch, right? For you Bible students out there, who's the branch? Jesus is the branch, right? And so, listen, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. He said, he is the branch. The branch is going to come. He's going to remove all sin from the land. And in one day, we're stopping it. That's it. No more. And so what we see is what was done symbolically for Joshua will be done for all of Israel. And this is the promise of the gospel. He says, hey, Joshua, if you walk one day, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise up a branch and it's going to take care of it once and for all. Justification, right? You can fast forward a few slides. It says justification is God forgiving his people's sins. Fast forward a few. God forgiving his people's sins and declaring them to be righteous because Jesus obeyed and died in their place, right? He died in their place. And then you remember that turban he put on the head? That turban in Deuteronomy 23? It says, holy to God. So it's not only giving you, taking it off, putting some new garments, but he puts a turban on your head that says, you are now holy to God, right? It's like wearing the number 10 jersey in soccer. It's like wearing the manager, you know, like I am the head guy. He says, you are now holy to God, right? And then the final crescendo, justified. We see a little bit of sanctification. Look at verse 10 is where we start wrapping it up. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Yeah, inviting neighbors? Juan, what does inviting neighbors have to do with justification? Well, because to truly enjoy this truth of justification is to fully share that truth. What we are in Christ will be seen in what we are before others. If we really believe justification, then you're going to walk out in sanctification. So now what? How do I apply this? Last two points. Listen, as a Christian, you don't have to pretend and you don't have to defend yourself. It'll go up there eventually. No internet bill? There we go. Right? Right? Glad we're paying the internet here. So listen, this is it, guys. Once you understand justification, just pursue God. Don't let the problems of the past. What do? Stop pretending. God knows and he still chose you, right? That's why Paul wrote, he goes, I want to do the things that I don't want to do and I don't want to do the things I do want to do. You know what that tells me? That God knows I'm stupid. That God knows I'm going to mess up. That God knows I'm going to get it wrong. And yet God tells Juan, come over here. Guys, I pastor a church for crying out loud. I was happy when God saved me. And I was like, oh, this is so great. I'm saved. My past was insane and stupid. And then God gave me this amazing wife. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, she's so great. And then these amazing kids. And then I'm leaving my restaurant industry and going into the church world. And I'm serving. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're turning my life around. And then he goes, oh, and I want you to go plant a church. And I was like, are you kidding me? There's certainly people much better than me to do this. Do you understand the grace of God? I don't have to pretend. God knows I'm a mess. Number two, you don't have to defend. Who remembers what Joshua said in the entire story? Who remembers the words that Joshua said? I got $100. You remember what he said? Nothing. Joshua said nothing the entire time. Think about that. Joshua said nothing. He was silent through it all because 1 John 2 tells us, who's our lawyer? Who's our advocate? Jesus is our lawyer and advocate. The only one who had the right to condemn Joshua stepped up and says, I'm going to defend him. Guys, that is the doctrine of sanctification. How do you know that you know? Romans 5:1 says you have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, that's justification, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Easy does it. This is why. This is the hope I find in this passage. That even though I am a great sinner, Jesus is a great Savior. And I live in him who loved me so. And he placed his name on my head too. And he says, holy unto the Lord. And this is what makes Christianity different, guys. The doctrine of justification. It's where grace and faith collide, connect, and create this cross. And this is my prayer. It's a hymn from 1863. He says this, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made me an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and pardon me." Why would God want to save us? To show us his love. Why would he bear the pain of Jesus? To show us his grace. Why does he want a family of humans? He wants us to do good so the world can see the good that God is. And it allows us to walk and say, "Easy does it, because God already did it." Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that tonight, Lord, we have the opportunity to truly understand your justification. God, that you declare us righteous, not because you're putting a fake jersey on us, but because Jesus Christ died for us. God, I thank you that our walk is a yoke that is light and a burden that is easy. And so, Father, we are grateful for what you've done in our lives. And we thank you for what you continue doing. But listen, before I say amen tonight, I cannot let us go without knowing that you know that you know that you have been justified by faith through grace in the faith of Jesus Christ. And so before I say amen, I'm going to have you, while we're still in this attitude of prayer, just where you're at in your seat. And if you're sitting there saying, I don't know, Juan, there's going to be two types of you. Some of you that are they're saying, I don't know, Juan, because my Christian walk is really hard. And maybe you got to get back over here and know that you know and say, Lord, I am justified by you. And this is, I've got this all wrong. I've been focusing on the law and not on Jesus Christ. And if that's you here tonight, then from your chair where you're at, you need to pray the prayer of salvation. And it's something like this. You just pray, dear God, I open my heart and invite you inside. Today I confess that I'm a sinner, but I'm asking you to do the impossible in my life and forgive me of my sins, washing me clean, and letting you reign as my king. I give you my life now to follow you forever. It's a simple prayer like that, because you have faith in the work of Jesus Christ that now deems you justified by faith. And you'll see it as you have peace with God, and now he walks you in that peace and sanctification. So if you're here tonight, church, as you are in an attitude of prayer, if you're here tonight and your Christian walk is too hard, and maybe you're doubting your salvation, you're doubting your justification, then right where you're at, if you want to be bold and stand up, then stand up. You just want to pray quietly in your heart, you pray quietly in your heart. But I'm going to give you a minute as the worship team plays to think about where you stand and are you right with God and that you know, because it shows in your peace with God. Listen, if you're here tonight and you prayed that prayer, I don't want you to leave here tonight without letting one of the leaders know, letting us get you a Bible study guide. We want to be with you and help you on this walk and in this journey. Let me pray us out and then we can be dismissed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, I pray you keep these kids. I pray you keep every one of them, Father. And you continue to show them your light and your love. Thank you for bringing us into your throne room and allowing us to recognize that it is easy, does it? Because you did it, Lord. We love you and we pray now, God. Have your way with us the rest of this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.